slowly peeling away the geological layers, Howard's workers revealed that Blackwater Draw had hosted not one but two ancient societies. One had left relics just like those at Folsom. Below the dirt strata with these objects, though, was a layer of quite different artifacts, bigger, thicker, and not as beautifully made. This second, earlier culture became known as the Clovis culture. Because Clovis was so dry, its stratigraphy, the sequence of geological layers, had not been jumbled up by later water flow, a common archaeological hazard. Because of this unusual clarity, and because Howard meticulously documented his work there, even the most skeptical archaeologists quickly accepted the existence and antiquity of the Clovis culture. To trumpet his findings, Howard arranged for the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia to sponsor an international symposium on early man. More than 400 scientists migrated to Philadelphia from Europe, Asia, Africa, and Australia. The symposium featured a full-scale reproduction 15 feet wide and 34 feet long, complete with actual artifacts and bones, of a particularly profitable section of Howard's excavation. Whiteman was not invited. He died in Clovis in 2003 at the age of 91. The most prominent speaker in Philadelphia was Aleš Hrdliška, then 68. Hrdliška gave Clovis the ultimate accolade, silence. Before one of the biggest archaeological audiences in history, Hrdliška chose to discuss the skeletal evidence for Indians' early arrival in the Americas. He listed every new find of old bones in the last two decades and scoffed at them all. So far as human skeletal remains are concerned, he concluded, there is to this moment no evidence that would justify the assumption of any great, i.e. geological, antiquity for American Indians. Every word Hrdliška said was true, but irrelevant. By focusing on skeletons, he was able to avoid discussing Clovis, the focus of the conference, because Howard had found no skeletons there. Clovis culture had a distinctive set of tools: scrapers, spear straighteners, hatchet-like choppers, crescent moon-shaped objects whose function remains unknown. Its hallmark was the Clovis point, a 4-inch spearhead with a cut-in concave tail. In silhouette, the points somewhat resemble those goldfish-shaped cocktail crackers. Folsom points, by contrast, are smaller and finer, perhaps 2 inches long and 1/8 inch thick, and have a less prominent tail. Both types have wide, shallow grooves or channels, called flutes, cut into the two faces of the head. The user apparently laid the tip of the spear shaft in the flute and twisted hide or sinew repeatedly around the assembly to hold it together. When the point broke, inevitable with stone tools, the head could be loosened and slid forward on the shaft, letting the user chip a new point. A Paleo-Indian innovation, this type of fluting exists only in the Americas. With Blackwater Draw as a pattern, scientists knew exactly what to look for. During the next few decades, they discovered more than 80 large Paleo-Indian sites throughout the United States, Mexico, and southern Canada. All of them had either Folsom or Clovis points, which convinced many archaeologists that the Clovis people, the earlier of the two, must have been the original Americans. Nobody really knew how old the Clovis people were, though, because geological strata can't be dated precisely. Figgins surmised that Folsom had been inhabited 15 to 20,000 years ago, which meant that Clovis must be a little before that. More precise dates did not come in until the 1950s, when Willard F. Libby, a chemist at the University of Chicago, invented carbon dating. Libby's research began in the global scientific race during the 1930s and 1940s to understand cosmic rays, the mysterious, ultra-high-velocity subatomic particles that continually rain onto the Earth from outer space. Like so many bullets, the particles slam into air molecules in the upper atmosphere, knocking off fragments that in turn strike other air molecules.